What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. You're listening to the final episode in our two-part series exploring the history of the Rhythm Machine, a legendary funk band that emerged from Naptown during the 1970s. The Rhythm Machine was formed by former members of the Highlighters band, including bassist James Boone and guitarist James Brantley. By the mid-1970s, the band's lineup included James Boone on bass, Maurice Puckett on guitar, Donald Harris and Merity Williams on sax and vocals, Robert Dykus on drums, Hopi Bronson on keys, and Dennis McNeil on percussion. On last week's show, we spoke with Rhythm Machine's guitarist, Maurice Puckett. This week, Maurice will be joined by saxophonist Donald Harris. Before we join our conversation with Maurice and Donald, let's listen to a classic track from Rhythm Machine. Off their 1976 self-titled LP, this is Everybody's Chippin'. Everybody's chippin'.
It's not a day. Everybody's chipping in their own way. Makes no difference if you're young or old. Mysterious love always been your soul. Still in love makes the spirit higher.
That was Rhythm Machine with Everybody's Chipping. WFYI's Kyle Long recently spoke with the band's guitarist Maurice Puckett and sax player and vocalist Donald Harris. Harris lives in Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha provided a second home for Rhythm Machine during the late 1970s. Let's join our conversation with Maurice Puckett and Donald Harris.
Don, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm a huge, huge fan of the Rhythm Machine and excited to have you on the program.
Thank you, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we've been talking to Maurice about his history here in Indianapolis. You're from Omaha, Nebraska, and we're going to talk about how you guys all linked up. But first, I wanted to hear a little bit about your time growing up in Omaha. I know you were a star track runner, and you were in some important bands out there, too, like Man vs. Man, right?
Yes, I was with Man vs. Man with Lonzo Franklin and Walter McKinney, who... He wound up playing with Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. He passed a few years ago. We opened for a lot of people. We opened for Grover, Washington Jr., Bill Withers, and we traveled a lot through the Midwest. So yeah, it was a pretty good band.
There's a pretty strong music scene out in Omaha, right? I know there was a band called L.A. Carnival there while you were active. There's been a history of music in Omaha, right?
L.A. Carnival. I actually facilitated a re-release for Lester Abrams and L.A. Carnival.
Sitting in the dark, holding my baby's hand. Blind man, I'm so all alone. Begging you to bring my heart.
We both played together with Buddy Miles when Buddy Miles came to Omaha. It was a privilege, man, to work with Lester and Buddy Miles because Lester taught Buddy how to play drums.
That's amazing. What got you into music as a young person?
I started off as a pantomime. My brothers and myself, we started off as a pantomime group. We used to do some Stan Freberg. He's really popular. He's a satirist, whatever they call him. Yeah, he jokes.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
We used to do a lot of his things, go on stage and just lip our mouths to it. So my father wound up, well, actually, I started taking sax. Well, I took other instruments, but I honed in on the saxophone. And so I took it from there. And that's when I joined Man vs. Man. I was in several other bands prior to being with Rhythm Machine. I was actually in a band with Meredy, and he's the one that talked me. Well, he asked me to join the band, join Rhythm Machine, because I was running track at the time for the University of Nebraska at Omaha. And, you know, I would just make these horn parts up out of my head. He's like, man, I like what you're doing on the horns, man. Do you want to join the Rhythm Machine? I was like, man, heck yes. So I stopped running track and joined the Rhythm Machine.
And that was around 1975 you joined?
That would have been around 75, yes.
Yeah. And let's just put this group into context, the Rhythm Machine. This group was started essentially by James Boone after the Highlighters band dissolved, and he started the Rhythm Machine. Is that correct, Maurice, Don?
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And the group went through a couple different phases. They put out an early single, The Kick, and that was before you joined, Maurice, is that correct?
I was still a teenager then.
Yeah, yeah.
But I used to watch them at the skating rink at Schofield.
What did you think of them when you would watch?
They was just a band. I was a kid. I was enjoying the music.
Yeah.
They was funky, man. They was funky.
They were good.
Yeah. So what year did you come into the Rhythm Machine, Maurice?
The year that Don did. The same
really?
Year. I started I joined the Rhythm Machine after the group broke up. And Meredy Williams, Robert Dykus, and Boone, they were here in Indianapolis. And they needed a guitar player. Kevin Flash Farrell, he was with them before then. And, you know, I knew him. So when I met everybody in the Rhythm Machine and knowing Boone, they needed a guitar player. So I joined him here in Indianapolis. And we rehearsed for a while. Then we left here and went to Omaha. And we met Don and Hopi Bronson and developed the group, you know. And it was an excellent group, man, for a young guy like me, because I didn't know musicians that played like that, except for the Upsetters, Al Walton Trio. But a funky Rhythm Machine type band, a funky
Rhythm
band.
Rhythm Machine had a sound. It made
man,
it like
we was fascinated by ourselves, man. We was good, man.
What was the Omaha connection? Because they were founded and based initially here in Indianapolis.
They had played in Omaha and Des Moines, Iowa. Those were our two main bases. And when we left here, we went back to Omaha. We stayed down at Leo's Place, which is one of the titles. You know, and they got me into ins and outs of living the real on-the-road musician life. And me and Don was young guys.
Yeah. How old were you when you joined?
Oh, Don, I don't want to tell them.
Okay.
No.
40.
No, it's something like, it was younger
you
than
young,
that, man.
Yeah.
We were young, man. Heck, it's been 40-something years, period,
right.
You know.
I know.
Don.
Stop, Don.
Don, were you familiar with the Rhythm Machine before you got this invitation to join?
Oh, man, absolutely.
What do you remember about the group? Yeah.
When they came through as the Highlighters, we would always go and see that band because they would take everybody's girlfriends away. I couldn't figure out what was going on. There was always big admiration for the Highlighters and the Rhythm Machine. So when they asked me to join, man, it was a no-brainer.
Let's take a break from our conversation with Maurice Puckett and Donald Harris and listen to a classic song from Rhythm Machine. From their 1976 album, this is Put a Smile on Time.
To see, I've got to be all I have to
was Rhythm Machine with Put a Smile on Time. Though Rhythm Machine was formed in Indianapolis, the band was based in Omaha, Nebraska during the late 1970s. Let's return to our conversation with Maurice Puckett and Donald Harris as they discussed the band's travels across the Midwest.
You had a foot in both cities, right? Right. Where all were you playing at the time? Were you traveling all over the country? Were you primarily playing in Omaha at that time?
We based in Omaha and Des Moines. That was our base.
Yeah, yeah.
We played a lot of other places, you know, and we finally ended up in Denver and Pueblo, Colorado playing. That's when we was trying to promote the album.
Yeah.
We didn't know what we were doing, but
strong
we did.
Midwest. It was like a strong Midwest.
Yeah, we were very Midwest.
Yeah.
Travel.
Were
Kansas
you,
City. Like
yeah.
Were you coming back to Indianapolis and doing gigs during that time
very
period?
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
You know, and it wasn't like doing gigs. We lived here.
Yeah.
We came here. And like that was like leave the road, leave the gigs, go home. You know, visit the family, go back to Omaha. You know.
And at that time, it's like traveling. When all the bands that I know that traveled during that period of time, they'd always have a base. And no matter where the gig is, they get to that gig.
Exactly.
And looking at it from the way I look at things today, I don't know how we did it. You know?
It was hard for us, Don. It was hard for us because we didn't know how to do it. And we had people around us that was showing us how to do it. But we were young, man. And, you know, we just did it, you know? And we just tried to put our all into it. And like Don said, we had different bases. You know, Indianapolis and Omaha were our bases.
And Des Moines somewhere.
And Des Moines. That's what I was saying. Des Moines really was between Omaha and Des Moines. That was the Rhythm Machine's base.
Robert's Lounge, the Token Club. And like in Kansas City, we did the Inferno.
Yeah.
Don, how old were you when you joined the Rhythm Machine?
20. I was still doing, I was supposed to try out for the Olympics, but I would injure myself a lot, to tell the truth. I was running really fast and I wouldn't warm up. I wasn't like a committed athlete. I was a musician who could run fast. That's what I ran a lot when I was really in grade school because people would be chasing me.
Like with Don, I really didn't know a lot about that. Don's younger year, when we met in Omaha, we all connected. And, you know, we created a family amongst us. And we all took care of each other. They taught me how to sew. Meredy knew how to sew. Robert Dykus had clothes made. And when I got in the group, I didn't have outfits, right? They gave me the outfits that they weren't wearing. And made sure we looked good on stage, you know, and that we stood up to their standards. And because we were young, you know, we were easy to teach, but we didn't know nothing.
In 1976, the Rhythm Machine released their classic self-titled album. This record has earned the band an audience around the world. Mm-hmm. This record is revered by fans of soul music all over the world and continues to be released. And I know you have a new version of some of those tracks out now, Don, that we're going to talk about. First, I just wanted to learn a little bit about the process of putting the album together because it's all original music, right?
Right.
Yeah, you guys wrote everything. Tell me about that.
Put a Smile on Time was one of my favorite songs.
Beautiful song.
Me and Meredy did it together. We sit down in Lil's place in the basement and wrote it. And then the band got together and we put the songs together. That's how we did our songs. Somebody would start writing something and we would get together and add our part and build on it. And then we would put it in some type of perspective that we understood.
The record has a very unique sound. It's different from a lot of the other funk bands out there at that time. Put a Smile on Time, Brenda and Me. This is a really unique sound you guys developed.
Thank you.
Were you conscious of like creating something unique or was that just all organic and a reflection of who you were?
For us, being the type of band we were and for the type of music that we learned to play to be circular, you know, to be able to play the clubs and everything, we took what we learned and took our heart and put it in it. And when we start creating the songs, they created songs, you know, the writers, the lyric writers and everything in the group created songs that had to do with their lives. And that's what we went from, you know. And we just kept putting it together, kept putting it together, kept putting it together.
Let's take a break from our conversation with Maurice Puckett and Donald Harris and listen to a classic song from Rhythm Machine. We'll listen to Be Yourself, an outtake from the band's 1976 LP.
We just trying to tell you, be yourself, be yourself. We just trying to tell you, be yourself. Makes no difference who you are, be yourself. Believe in the man you think you are. You can't be me, and I can't be you. Why can't we get together, try to improve? We just try to tell you.
Stay tuned. Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return with more music from the Rhythm Machine after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. This is the final episode in our two-part series exploring the history of the Rhythm Machine, a legendary funk band that emerged from Naptown during the 1970s. We've been talking with the band's guitarist, Maurice Puckett, and sax player and vocalist, Donald Harris. Let's hear another track from Rhythm Machine's 1976 self-titled album. This is Brenda and Me.
Brenda and me, together, happy and free, forever. Brenda and me, together.
That was Rhythm Machine with Brenda and Me. That track is featured on the band's 1976 self-titled LP. That album was released on an independent Naptown label called Lulu Records. The record received little attention at the time of its release, but over the years, the album has gained a large following among fans of soul music. The album has been reissued many times, and Rhythm Machine's music has been licensed for use in video games and television shows. But the band's leader, James Boone, didn't inform his bandmates of this new interest in their music. Let's return to our conversation with Maurice Puckett and Donald Harris.
The album has traveled around the world, gotten into the hands of soul music fans, and has found this whole new audience with a new generation of music listeners. When did you guys find out that the record was still out there getting
fans? I didn't know how far it went.
Yeah.
I had heard that they had leased the material to a couple of TV shows, and I was laying in my living room here in Indianapolis one day and heard Brenda and Me come on television. And I was looking around, man. I thought my lady was playing my album, my little record and stuff, you know. But it was on television and it knocked me out, man. It took me for a loop. But after all that, I got right in touch with Boone then, you know. After all that, they started doing things, working with Boone, you know, and getting things together.
With Boone?
With Boone, you know, I'm just saying professionally, as far as the business end. You know, and I didn't know nothing about it, you know. But I was very glad because somebody was trying to do something. Because we went as far as we could as a road band, you know, trying to promote what we had did in the recording industry. So, you know, it was hard on me because I really want. I always thought I was gonna be this fabulous rock and roll funky guitar player, you know, man. It did not happen. But I didn't enjoy my life as a musician. And thanks to these guys that I played with and these guys that I played with here and there, you know, I've learned to love, keep my love for the music business, you know.
Don?
I had sort of a different experience with how I found out. I did find out, my sister called me. My sister Kathy called me and said, your song is playing on television. So I'm like, what the heck? So I contacted Boone. And obviously Boone had some kind of a contractual agreement where Boone represented himself as the soul, the only writer of all this music by Rhythm Machine.
So it sounds like the re-interest in this music, the reissue, it was kind of a bittersweet thing. You're excited that the music is getting out to people and being heard, but you weren't treated fairly in the contractual
process.
Because
we weren't included.
Yeah.
We weren't included.
Yeah.
We were just told that it was that it happened. Like Don heard about it from television. I heard about it from television. We didn't know that the contract was written. We didn't know the company had our material. We didn't know anything. We don't know who had the copyrights, how the copyrights were done, because we didn't know nothing about the music industry. We were a band, you know. We didn't have a production company. We didn't have, you know,
legit management.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Managers that took care of things for us. We didn't have that. We had to do it all ourselves, and we had to depend on the knowledge of Boone to get it done.
We had to trust.
Right, there you go. Yeah. And I give it to him. He put a lot of effort into it, you know, his way. And it turned out something because
we're here.
Yeah, we're here. We're at this point, you know. And we didn't know nothing. Like I said, we didn't know anything about that. We were a band, you know.
We're excited musicians.
We love to go to play.
Yeah.
What TV show was this song used on that you heard it?
Was it The Unit?
Supernatural. Okay, well. Supernatural.
It's either The Unit or The Shield. Supernatural.
No, well, the Shield played the kick. That was the kick was on The Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Supernatural and Rescue Me, Brendan and Me was on that.
Yeah, because it was a TV show where they had a dance scene that I heard Brendan and Me.
That must have been like an out-of-body experience to hear this song that had been, for all you know, just been sitting in the dustbin.
In the closet somewhere, you know. We had some copies, you know.
What was that like hearing that after all those years?
It was more like a going out of my mind experience.
What's this, you know?
Yeah.
Is that us? Is this real?
To me, Put a Smile on Time being on the video game on Saints Row 2.
Yeah.
That was one of my good feelings right there. And to date, I don't remember getting paid for that.
And Don knew about that. I didn't even know nothing about that,
It's used in a video
about
game
that.
Soundtrack. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Nothing about that, you know.
Saints Row 2.
Yeah, wow. Now, you do know now that the original copies of this LP sell for thousands of dollars. You know,
get no thousands.
You have fans in Europe, in Japan. How does that feel? How do you feel about this resurgence of interest?
Don and Robert got the chance to involved itself in that, right? I didn't get to go because I was having strokes at the time. And we're older, you know. So I had to get my medical thing together. But I felt good because somebody recognized what we did. And when I talked to Don and Robert after that, you know, they told me how much fun they had and how they enjoyed even sitting in with the bands that were doing our material. I don't know nothing about that, man. Nothing. But
imagine going to another country, headlining a festival, and, you know, like seeing your name at the top of the billing for the festival, and all those people out there to see Rhythm Machine. It was amazing.
What do you think it is about the music that continues to speak to people and speak to people in different cultures? Some people don't even speak English that are gravitating towards this music now.
Because we played with our heart, man. We believed in what we did, and we just gave it, you know. And what we learned, the collective knowledge of music that we learned, it was something that was special. It was special for us to do it, and it was special for us to try to get it out there, and we're still proud of it today.
Don, what do you think it is that people are hearing in this music
today? The parts, the elements. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things line up, and Rhythm Machine, the musicians lined up. We helped each other be better. Even the things that I learned that were not so pleasant to learn, it made me a better person. Mm-hmm. Going through this experience over these years, seeing Rhythm Machine become what it is to people. Okay, like for instance, we did an autograph session. I was the only one there for the Rhythm Machine.
Right.
And people were lined up all around the corner just to get an autograph. I've never seen anything. I mean, just that feeling itself is like, wow, you know. And one young lady came. She had to be in her early 20s. She said if it were not for Put a Smile on Time, she was going to kill herself. Mm. She said that she was somewhere and she was thinking, contemplating suicide. And that song came on. And she said that it made her have a happy feeling. So I think that particular thing meant a lot to me to hear that, you know, and I think of her a lot. I don't know her, but I will not forget what she told me. It just feels good to be a part of something that maybe helped one person. You know what I'm saying?
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's pause and listen to another track from Rhythm Machine's 1976 album. This is Can't Do Without You.
No matter how you treat me, and long as I think it's fair, yeah, make no difference what you say, and long as believe you still care. No, I can't do without you, girl. No, I can't do without you, girl. No, I can't do without you, sweetheart.
That was Rhythm Machine with Can't Do Without You. Let's return to our conversation with Maurice Puckett and Donald Harris as they discuss the legacy of the band's music and a new reissue album titled Inside the Rhythm Machine.
What year would you say the band Rhythm Machine officially split apart?
Oh, Don, when was
79.
That? Yeah, okay.
79. Was it an amicable split? Was it...
Because we had been on the road so long, man. And we had did the album, and we had after Denver. We had went to Denver and Pueblo and played, man. And we was trying to go to California, and we was out of money. We had no way. We couldn't find no sponsor, nobody to promote us or nothing. We was promoting ourselves. So we ended up going back home. And after a while, we came back to Indianapolis, you know, and the group just kind of split up, man, because we had nowhere else to go, and nobody was trying to help us. You know, nobody thought we were good enough or thought we were their type of music to pick us up and put us on stage and, you know, give us some finances
right.
to work from.
And Don and Maurice, you've talked about your dissatisfaction with some of the business deals that have gone on in the past. Don, you've done something about that. You've put together your own reissue of this music as well as unreleased tracks and newer material. You have I think it's a double album out called Inside the Rhythm. Is that right?
Yes.
That's right.
Tell us about this new recording.
Don did excellent work on this.
I asked the guys to send me whatever old recordings that they had of Rhythm Machine, this and that, and the songs that were not completed. And I actually went through a process of restoring what I could and building on the tracks where I could. I did a lot of audio correction. I had one of the best mastering facilities in the world, because our mastering engineer, his name is Earl Holder. He's in Atlanta and he's a Grammy judge. We went through some four mastering processes. I would hear it and I would hear something else. And so I would send it back until we got it to where I thought it was was best. You know what I mean?
Do either of you want to share your thoughts on the legacy of this band and, you know, what's next? Because this, it seems like this music just continues to find new audiences and grow. Talk about the legacy and what you would like to see happen in the future.
We are still musicians. We still love what we do, you know. We would like to continue until we pass on. And we would like to leave something, you know. Like I was saying about the thing that I have with the fallen musician, these guys didn't get a chance to be recognized. And we would like to be recognized. We are soldiers. That's a definite thing with me. We are soldiers in this business, you know. And we will fight till the end to make this business happen, to make people proud, to show that we love it, you know. And because of that, I would like to live that, you know. Somebody like our stuff. We played on stage. They liked us, you know. We want to be recognized, man. That's how we want. You know, we ain't trying to get rich. We wish we could, but we just trying to be recognized, man.
Don, what about you? Talk about the legacy and what would you like to see happen in the future?
Well, I am happy and I'm proud. It makes me proud to know that I'm a part of something that that is lasting. That's, you know, like a lot of groups come and go. You know, they come and go and you can't remember them tomorrow, you know, for something that was considered great today. I'd rather be remembered for something that was great that nobody knew about, that they're rediscovering it. Just, you can feel the passion of the band in almost, you know, in what we do. We believe in what we did. And I tried to show that I believed in what we've done by releasing that new Inside the Rhythm by Rhythm Machine.
Maurice and Don, it was an honor to have you both on the program. I'm a huge fan of all the music you've created. I know we didn't even get time to go into all the details of the work you've done. Maybe we can do a part two sometime if you guys are down for it.
But no problem.
I can't thank you both enough for taking time to do this and share the history.
We appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And just to interrupt.
Yes.
My friend Herman Slaughter hooked us up with you. It's a blessing.
That was guitarist Maurice Puckett and sax player and vocalist Donald Harris sharing their memories of the Rhythm Machine. We have time for one more song from the band. Off their classic 1976 album, this is Thought My Love Was Fine. That's all the time we have for this week. Thanks for tuning in for our two-part tribute to Rhythm Machine. You can purchase a new two-disc collection of Rhythm Machine's music at oldindie.com. We'd like to dedicate this episode to all the past and current members of Rhythm Machine, including the band's founder, James Boone. Boone died in 2014. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.